Hi, you're listening to my favourite Elliott Smith song. This is the podcast that's all about keeping Elliott Smith's legacy alive in our own very small way. And we do that by speaking to well-known fans about their favourite song of his. So hi, and thank you so much for joining us for this episode. It's a bit of a Portland special today as we speak to local musician and legend Pete Krebs. Now, you may know Pete from his work with his band Hazel, which emerged from the Portland scene in the 90s at a similar time to Elliott's band Heat Miser, or you may know his solo work, which includes a split 7-inch he released with Elliott back in 1994, with Elliott contributing the B-side, No Confidence Man, and Pete's Chi-Town on the other side. Pete and Elliott were great friends back then. They played numerous shows together, they worked in the same construction jobs to fund their music careers, and they hung out in the same bars. So we were really happy when Pete agreed to come on the podcast to talk through not only his favourite song, but he also agreed to take Reese Buchanan, a British journalist who is visiting Portland, around a few of the places he and Elliott used to drink in and play at. As is the tradition, we'll start this episode with Pete talking through his favourite song pick. But after that, we'll hand over to Pete's car in the streets of Portland as he gives Reese a quick tour of the city. Hope you enjoy it.
My name is Pete Krebs from Portland, Oregon, and my pick is Say Yes.
I'm in love with the world through the eyes of a girl who's still around the morning after.
That was one of Elliott's early ones, and I think that was probably the first one that really got stuck in my head, first of all. And second of all, I just think that it's just an absolutely brilliant tune in terms of the way that he kind of layers things on top of each other. You know, it's sort of like a carpet being rolled out or something like that. Each time he goes back through the form, there's something different that's happening. And I think that really speaks to his musical genius. And then also, lyrically, I've been writing songs for most of my life. And the first line, you know, I'm in love with a girl, I'm in love with the world through the eyes of a girl who's still around the morning after, says so much in such a compact, elegant way. I just think it's just masterful on so many levels. This song just has a lot of little twists to it, and you know, on the surface it seems, you know, just kind of like a love song, but I just feel like there's so much of Elliott's personality that's coming into play lyrically as the song rolls out. You know, there's a lot of self-deprecating humor, and I don't know, he was just thinking on so many different levels. It's a very three-dimensional song to me.
It's always been wait and see, a happy day, and then you pay and feel like shit the morning after.
You mentioned there that you think this song brings out some of the elements in Elliott's personality that you knew. Can you tell us a bit more about what you mean by that and what those elements are that this song brings out?
Well, yeah, I mean, when he's singing, you know, feel like shit the morning after, I mean, that's like the kind of thing that a lot of songwriters would try to find a more elegant way to put, but he just comes right out and says what's on his mind. And I feel like that reflects the type of person that I knew. He was plain spoken in this way that I think was quite fearless at times, although, you know, I wouldn't necessarily refer to this portion of the tune as being fearless, but he had an aspect to his personality. I mean, he wasn't a very physically large, imposing person, but yet he was pretty brave. And so I kind of feel like his plain spokenness reflects that.
And do you remember when you heard this song for the first time?
Not specifically. I mean, I heard a lot of the early stuff that he had written when he and I were working together. We kind of got these sort of low impact, dumb construction jobs together. And there was one job in particular that I remember working with him, scraping a ceiling of a warehouse. And, you know, it's a very long, tedious job. You know, you scrape and then you move the scaffold and then you scrape. And so we would just listen to music all day while we were working anyways. And, you know, one day he brought in a cassette tape of his original stuff. And it's sure possible that this is one of the tunes that was on there, because I do remember that listening to those songs just made such a huge impact on me. You know, I felt like I was listening to something that was so, like, it was just leagues ahead of anything that I had heard coming from anyone that I knew personally. You know, you get to know someone on a friendship level, and you develop a real, you know, affection for them, and then down the line they show you that they've got this amazing hidden skill that they, you know, and that was my experience of you know, first hearing his stuff. It's just like, oh my God, this is like world class. I mean, this is really something, and it's something that's really special, and I just recognized it immediately.
But now I feel changed around, and instead of falling down, I'm standing up the morning after. Situations get fucked up and turned around sooner or later.
And do you find it hard listening to this song now, or indeed any of Elliott's songs now?
Oh, absolutely. When he passed away, I think that it had a very big impact on the community, the musical community here in Portland. You know, people that played with him and knew him as a colleague, and also a lot of people here who were really sort of beneficiaries of the first sort of flowering of his art. And almost immediately there was just this very big commotion about it. You know, a lot of interviews and all of a sudden, you know, people are writing books and making movies. And when it comes right down to it, imagine yourself and you have a friend, somebody that you care about, and they pass away. And all of a sudden, a lot of people want to talk about it. And that was initially really challenging for me. And I found that I needed to create some space between myself and what I felt about his passing. And so I wasn't able to listen to his music for years and years. It just, you know, if it came on in a bar or something where I was at, I kind of wanted to leave. And I think that that just reflects a lot of things. It reflects, you know, just missing a friend. It reflects missing a period of time. So, you know, I'm still kind of touchy about it. Like, I don't put Elliott on Spotify and have it playing in the house while I do the dishes. You know, it's something that grabs me, and I need to be in a very particular place in order to be able to hang with it.
I could be another fool or an exception to the rule. You tell me the morning after.
So, Pete, moving away from the song now, and before we go to your tour of the streets of Portland, tell us how you met Elliott and tell us how you became such good friends with him.
Yeah, well, his band Heat Miser and my band Hazel were playing in Portland at the same time. This was in the early 90s. And, you know, we shared bills at places like the Satyricon and the X-Ray and the Blue Gallery, and later on at La Luna. These are all, you know, kind of legendary Portland clubs, none of which exist anymore. And so we just got to know each other really as colleagues first. At that time in Portland, there wasn't a huge scene of quote-unquote underground music. You know, I used to like the joke that you know, it was small enough that you could tell who was at a party by the bicycles out front. It was probably just like any scene. So we got to know each other that way, and we were both songwriters, and so we ended up playing some solo shows together and also went on tour. But mainly it was just getting to know one another casually outside of playing gigs that really cemented the friendship that we had.
And that over there, where the crane is, that was Club 21.
Okay.
Yeah. So just sort of across the street from each other. So here we are then in Pete's car as he's driving Rhys Buchanan, a British music journalist, around the streets of Portland. In these clips, Pete takes Rhys to venues he just mentioned, places like the X-Ray and the Satyricon that have closed down now, but he and Elliot used to play in back in the 90s. And just a slight warning to say sorry that the audio can be a little bit patchy in places. We just wanted to get quite an authentic feel as Pete was driving around Portland.
So this block here, this used to be a vacant lot where it says Maybell, and then Maybell, and then Satyricon was halfway up the block.
Okay.
And this was just like a big parking lot where everybody would park their cars and stuff. And you know, it could probably fit 200 people in there maybe. And there were bleachers on both sides, and a really, really, really big stage in the back. It reminded me a lot of CBGBs in New York back in the day. You know, there was off the stage to the right as you're looking at it, that's where the dressing room was, where lots of bad stuff happened. And then to the left of the stage, there was a door that went to another vacant lot where you could park your van and load your gear in. But eventually they closed that down. They closed the door up because too many people were sneaking in and too many vans were getting broken into. The X-Ray sort of, I think, put the whole Keep Portland Weird thing on the map, you know, because they had music 7 nights a week, and it'd be anything from like a knitting class to the Tennesseans playing, you know, like old country music kind of before anybody else was, to like loud thrash bands, to clothing swaps. Hazel played there a bunch, Heat Miser. That's where I first met Sam Coombs and Janet Weiss when they were playing in Motor Goat. That's probably actually where I met Elliot, was at the X-Ray.
What was he like to generally sort of hang around with and have a few beers with?
Oh, he was hilarious, man. You know, that's like, you know, one of the things I always bring up when people ask me about him is that, you know, he has a reputation of being, you know, this moody, intense person. And he was definitely moody and definitely struck me at times as being, I don't know if depressed is the right word, but definitely under a dark cloud. But like when he was in a good mood, just hanging out together, it was always just really hilarious. I mean, he just had a really great sense of humor. And I mean, I can picture him in my mind. The picture that I have of him in my mind is of him laughing. You know, like I can hear his laugh and see his face. And that's a nice way to remember somebody. You know, I didn't really know him when he was in New York or LA towards the end. And I didn't really see things kind of spin out of control. So, you know, we would run into each other when I was on tour and stuff, but, and things were kind of concerning the last couple of times I saw him. But, you know, I'm lucky that my experience with him is, you know, really more lighthearted and, you know, just based in a really small music scene and in what was at that time kind of a small backwater town, you know?
Yeah.
I feel really lucky to have that perspective and not the other.
I'll probably be the last to know. No one says until it shows. See how it is. They want you or they don't. Say yeah. I'm in love with the world through the eyes of a girl who's still around the morning after.
So thank you so much to Pete Krebs for being so generous with his time. And thanks also to Rhys Buchanan for giving up some of his holiday to record that interview. And that's pretty much it for now. Of course, do remember to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram if you can. And feel free to get in touch with us on any of those channels if you've got guest recommendations or even if you just want to chat. We'll be back in a couple of weeks when we'll be speaking to Jade Bird, one of the most exciting breakthrough artists of the year. So really hope you can join us for that. Finally, thank you to Elizabeth Wood Stanley for helping produce this show. And of course, thanks to you for listening to it. Oh, and one last thing quickly before I go. Pete just wanted me to leave you with this.
I think that Elliot can be viewed as like this tortured genius, or some people maybe view him as a drug addict. Some people view him as this really intense, dark individual. But I just like to speak up for those of us who knew him as just a really bright, funny, lighthearted, just salt of the earth, really great guy. And yeah, he had his troubles, and there was a lot of demons in there, but I think that that's probably true for most of us. So I just wanted to say that.